everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the Gilcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. For the third week in a row, panic-swapping losers who have terrible teams at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they took your money again. For maybe the first time in the history of this show, I truly do not recall this ever being the case before. I stood pat. My team was in a great spot. My team got there. I won, took people's money. But, Sammy, I looked at your team and I said, buddy, you got to swap. I looked at Nate's team, laughing my ass off at Nate's team.
Nate's goddamn team was an abomination.
Chuckling. I'm like, I don't even know what kind of drunk mole rat put this team together. But, Nate, you have one option. There's one thing you can do to draw live, and that is to swap to rain Dakota Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. I wish I knew CeeDee's real name. And buddy, you did it. You swapped. You did. And I think the thing that is bailed, Sammy's down to swap whatever. Like if someone tells him to swap, he's probably just gonna
bitch.
Do it.
Let's go.
Nate, I think the fact that your team was so dead, like if you were close, because you don't like to
swap. If I was close, I wouldn't have swapped. So like the fact that I was so dead, I was looking at swaps that I was like, I mean, I was so dead. I was literally contemplating, like, do I just fade the entire game and go, like, Aiden O'Connell and Devontae and leave thousands of dollars on the table? Like, I was so dead. But it was just a perfect swap to CeeDee and Dak, because all I had left was Jalen Hurts and Adam Thielen.
Unbelievable. This dude plans his whole Sunday around playing Adam Thielen. At honestly, do you think Adam Thielen, even in peak Minnesota, do you think he was ever 7,500 Thielen?
This price was insane. There's no way.
And you were just like, buddy, I can't wait to buy the Pico top on 35-year-old Adam Thielen and Bryce Young.
Nate just bought, like, you know, 30K Tyler Hero card, and he's like, I think the price was pretty high, but you know, I'm gonna do it because I mean, like 33-year-old white receiver, and Nate's like, I'm gonna make this guy the centerpiece of my DFS team. Like, let's go, all the money to Nate. My God, Nate, this was an abomination.
We got to get into the scores. Whirling Dervish, who did make some mistakes, but ended up just late swapping into, again, the Stone Nuts.
Late swapping onto CeeDee's Nuts.
142.86. Nate, 127.86. That should tell you how bad Nate's team is, that he swapped into 75 combined points from CeeDee and Dak, and he got to 127.86. And
no, I got to 131, didn't I?
This is what you have in our three man. I don't know if you did something else. And then
CSV not upload, Nate?
Oh no, it was 127. Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking at
I had 124.18. I'm sitting there at the end of the noon games being like, these idiots, like they're so dead. Like this is going to be a great show. I'm going to dunk all over them. I did get there. I actually noticed that some of the massive double ups my team was either chopping or didn't get there. But Wednesday on the Swolecast, people started chirping me in the chat, being like, how, you know, up to what dollar level will you accept the head to heads? And I was like, okay, well, accept the 109 against anyone, you know, and up to 535 if I think you're bad. And people were just shipping me in. This was the most volume I played all season.
Because get me back on the Swolecast. That sounds like good action.
People were shipping me invites Wednesday until this morning, and I'm just accepting all of them. And I only lost one game above $50 this week. So full transparency, my team obviously could have been better. I actually late swapped against the guy in a 109 because he played fucking Rashad White and just had me in jail. He didn't play Singletary and he played Rashad White, had me in jail, swapped to Dak and CeeDee against him and beat him on the last catch time expired.
The last windmill.
No,
man. I needed that last catch too. That last catch put me.
Yeah,
I mean, I needed that last drive.
I did not, but it was still nice to just get some extra CeeDee Lamb points because, man, what an alpha.
Okay, so these were the loose locks of the slate. There were three quarterbacks who you could play at lock: Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, And I thought Dak Prescott was in play. It put you in a weird salary range with Dak, though, in terms of what you were doing with that extra money. I think some people who ended up showing up with him at 4 o'clock, though, like they planned on that. And I think it was fine. There were five running backs who were in play: Jonathan Taylor, Devin Singletary, Josh Jacobs, Bijan Robinson, and actually, I think that's it. There's only four, right? Was there another one that was in play?
No,
White and Jacobs were both in play.
Oh, yeah. Jacobs. Singletary, Kamara, Jacobs, Bijan, and Jonathan Taylor. Everyone else was under 25% on. Those were, I think, the five who were in play. Demario Douglas, Stonelock, he was 85% owned. Now, Terry McLaurin should not have been viewed as a lock, and we can talk more about that in a second, but the field treated him that way. Then you had to make the decision between A.J. Brown or CeeDee Lamb as your most expensive guy, or if you are Nate, and apparently 38 to 40% of the field defending on the double up, you chose Adam Thielen. So just imagine looking at CeeDee Lamb and A.J. Brown and being like, no, I'm taking Adam Thielen.
I'm taking the crafty guy. I'm taking the veteran version of Hunter Renfrow, and I'm going to put my American dollars down
now,
on this.
We'll get to that in a second. Now, weirdly, I thought this was the strangest, most interesting wrinkle of the slate compared to all of the slates we played. Any site that you ran the optimal, ETR, RotoGrinders, 4-4, wherever, you were getting TJ Hockenson in the optimals, right? And to me, it just seems terrible. There were just so many variables, like Jaren Hall. It ended up being like the most exciting game of the day because Josh Dobbs came in. It just was like that game projected to be kind of slow. Obviously, it didn't end up being that way. But the Hockenson teams, to me, it didn't seem that great because we had Njoku, we had Schultz, we had Ferguson, we had Pitts. I was in into McBride, but he ended up getting owned. I just thought there were so many potential plays there at tight end that sacrificing one of A.J. Brown or CeeDee Lamb to play Hockenson felt terrible.
Insane decision.
No.
Yes,
Nate. I don't think it was insane. I think at the end of the day, the way that a tight end gets his volume is very different than a wide receiver who gets his volume way downfield. I don't think this quarterback thing hurt Hockenson as much as it would have hurt a Jefferson or something like that. A tight end becomes a safety valve for a bad quarterback like that. And it's not
I think that's just something people say. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, this is a boots in the dirt take from Nate, which is just like so bad.
Did Cole Kmet do anything today?
I think he did.
Cole Kmet had two targets, just caught two of them for touchdowns.
Dust ball quarterbacks can't get the ball downfield to these deep threat wide receivers. And so what they do is they take these dump offs to either running backs running flank routes or your tight ends. And
buddy,
so,
you got to watch the film. I don't know if you saw what Cole Kmet did down the field, aka Randy Moss style. Just so everybody knows, Nate spent the first hour before lock texting us that we're idiots for not playing Hawk. Hawk is going to separate. Hawk is going to be the game breaker, like this and that. And then like 2 minutes before lock, we get a text and Nate goes, I don't think I can do it. I'm swapping. And he gets off Hockenson.
What's weird though, is what team did Nate possibly have if he already had Thielen? So if he shows up with Thielen already and a punt tight end, what team did you have?
It was a Baker team.
Oh, the people got robbed, man.
I know. The people got I was legit gonna roll out a Baker, Jacobs, Singletary, AK, and Thielen team.
Nate, you are the world's greatest living coward for not playing that lineup. The people are absolutely robbed of what essentially could have been the best skill cast of the year. Holy shit, bro.
I was this close. If I didn't have as much exposure and props, I would have.
Nate would have not been able to swap. He would have just been sitting there. And
sitting there with Baker Mayfield.
And Adam Thielen.
If you guys can find his name, it's Nate N on DraftKings. Like, he is open for business. You got to do it.
Yeah, you won't be able to find him. And then at defense, about 60 to 70% of people played the Giants. That's who I played. The Packers, which I thought were good. I thought the Packers defense was good. It just didn't have the salary for it. The Patriots, I actually thought was better. Again, didn't have the salary for it. And that is pretty much what people did. Now, the main thing that I did different from you guys was I did not play Alvin Kamara and I did not play Bijan Robinson. I played Jonathan Taylor straight up over him. And I thought it was more important to get to AJ Brown than
this Bijan Robinson thing. I need to just fully take it out. This is ridiculous. The fact that I played the backup running back for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, literally Tyler Allgeier is the guy who gets all of these touches near the red zone. I don't know what I'm thinking playing Bijan Robinson. It's just wish casting based on talent, which is like the opposite of what I do. And I played him in cash games over a Josh Jacobs. I'm in shambles. I cannot believe I played Bijan Robinson in cash games.
You know, I also played Bijan Robinson. And, you know, like you get into this weird vortex before lock where you're like looking at the spreadsheets and you're looking at the projections and this stuff. And you totally forget that Arthur Smith is his coach. Like it's out of your mind. And it's like, oh my God. And then the game starts and you're like, oh, there's Cordarrelle with a reception and there's Allgeier. And oh, Jonnu Smith is getting downfield looks. And you're like, holy shit, why did I play Bijan Robinson? What have I done? And this is exactly how I felt. I also played Bijan. Like my decision was essentially Bijan and the Packers defense or Taylor and the Giants defense.
Yep. I looked at that too. And I was like, you know what? And I played Bijan, I think, in every tournament lineup. So it's not that I don't get the genesis of it. It's just that I was like, bro.
In cash games, it's unfathomable. It's literally unfathomable that I did it in cash games. I in tournaments, it's one thing because, yeah, the efficiency and, yeah, obviously his talent is undeniable. But with Allgeier there, what am I thinking? I mean, Josh Jacobs literally.
I think you shouldn't focus so much on Bijan in a vacuum. What are you thinking? It's why didn't you play Jonathan Taylor for $300 more?
Well, because I think Jonathan Taylor was similar wish casting to Bijan. It's just it didn't turn out as bad.
No, yes, he played a season high in snaps last week, and he got all the ball. He got like 25 touches this week.
Buddy, last week he got one touch after halftime. Don't you remember?
He was dust in the second half. He did not.
He came up gimpy.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. They literally said there was no injury. I literally trying to get
guys.
Zach
you
want to
know? You want to know how deep in the lab I was this morning trying to decide this 2v2? I'm literally on The Athletic reading articles from the team beat writers about like what's the deal? Why isn't Jonathan Taylor playing? And they did a whole article about what happened to him in the second half. And basically, the way the coaching staff explained it is they said he came up gimpy on that run. And Moss was just, you know, handling the stuff. But he was still out there on pass protection.
That's what Taylor I'm saying. Was. He wasn't hurt. So it is something that, like, knowing that's in the range of outcomes, that he can just, like, healthy, not get workload, that's not in Josh Jacobs' range of outcomes at all. Like, so I mean, both Bijan and Taylor was a wish casting play based on what we want.
No, I don't. I'm not letting you get away with this. And that they're young and they're talented. 24 right. touches for Jonathan
and our
Taylor.
Job.
I'm not letting you guys. Get
our job as DFS one. Is to play what they're doing. It's not what we think they should be doing. Like the assumption of rational coaching cannot be a thing. Like Zach Moss is getting those touches. Like until we see that workload shift, we shouldn't be playing him at this salary.
I mean, Taysom Hill got more carries than Alvin Kamara today.
Yeah, I'm not taking a W on Alvin Kamara either. I feel like a freaking moron.
I did not want to go to war without Alvin Kamara, and that feels bad. We should actually talk about what we actually played.
Oh, okay. So this is the team that I played. I did not swap. Jalen Hurts, Jonathan Taylor, Devin Singletary, and Josh Jacobs, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin, DeMario Douglas, and the Giants defense.
Very professional team, Davis.
Nate had at lock Jalen Hurts, Alvin Kamara, Bijan Robinson, Adam Thielen, McLaurin Douglas, Logan Thomas, somehow, Jesus Devin Singletary, man. And the Packers defense that turned into a Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb swap. Sammy, you had Jalen.
I have both my teams in front of me. I can say them.
Okay, go do
so
it.
So I started off with Hurts at QB and then Kamara, Singletary, and Bijan. I mean, the Bijan thing, like, I just, we could spend the next 45 minutes talking about this. So egregious. But I went AJ Brown, McLaurin, Douglas. And the way that I did this is I went down to Bellinger at tight end. I was just like, you know what? Like, David Njoku is not going to give me the blade. What I really want to do is have Hurts, and I want to have AJ Brown, and I want to have Kamara. Like, I want those guys. And I can still have the chalk three running backs, the chalk three quarterbacks. I can still have Singletary, this and that. And so the last, like I said, the last decision was Bijan and the Packers versus Jonathan Taylor and the Giants. And I just said, you know what? Like, I feel pretty similarly about Bijan and Taylor. And I actually think the Packers are a way better play than the Giants.
I was like looking at your lineup, not understanding where the salary came from.
I was just a 2v2 of you, Sammy. So,
but then, I realized you didn't have Jacobs or Jonathan Taylor, Sammy.
No, I did not. And I didn't have Njoku. And Njoku scores a touchdown. And I'm just like, oh shit. And Bijan doesn't do anything. And I'm like, oh shit. And Kamara doesn't do anything.
Not getting snaps. It was tilting.
I mean, literally, Kamara was the third guy to touch the ball. Like, Taysom got stuff before him. Williams got stuff before him. I was like, what the shit is going on? And so what I ended up doing was swapping out Hurts and Brown and Bellinger. And I put in Dak and CeeDee and Ferguson, complete smash show. Like, easy so, game.
Man, I was just a 2v2 of you but at lock. I just had Thielen and Thomas over Bellinger and Brown.
You do understand how bad that is, right? Like,
I don't, he doesn't.
No, with Hurt, no, I don't. I don't. I think the Thielen run out makes
you're like, it's good. Like one dust ball tight end versus another dust ball tight end, and you choose it. And so it's of course you get AJ Brown over Thielen.
It's insane. It is actually insane.
Bro, I mean, you got to put these guys next to each other. It's like Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve. It's just like AJ Brown is the beastiest motherfucker that has ever stepped foot on a football field. And Adam Thielen is
Hurts gives me the exposure to Brown that I would have wanted.
And no, that's
not what it does, Nate, because everybody has Hurts too.
You look $7,500 Adam Thielen in the face and just made out with that motherfucker. You were like, that is what I made a lot of mistakes in my career. I am not a professional DFS player. I made mistakes this week. I'll make mistakes next week. But dude, come on. $7,500 Adam Thielen.
Yeah, you got to zoom out.
I didn't even play him when he was $6,700. I was just like, I'm not paying that. That is too, like.
Well, that was a mistake. I mean, you had Tate Lock and you didn't realize that he was getting the workload that.
Okay,
that
when he is priced in the same stratosphere as like legit the best guys in the game, and it's a matter of a defense 2v2, you just cannot be going to war with Adam Thielen.
Yeah, it's really bad, Nate. It's really bad. You gotta
take the L, dude. He was $700 less than CeeDee Lamb. He was $700 less than CeeDee Lamb. And it's actually tilting me that Nate's stubbornness actually let him get there because he was so dusted from Bijan and Kamara that.
No, I feel way worse about my running back choices than I do. I don't think Thielen. I don't think Thielen, like Thielen looks awful right now, but I don't think Thielen going into lock was that bad. But I do.
I mean, are you
not taking the L? The people are shocked.
I'm taking my L at running back. I'm not taking my L at wide receiver.
I'll tell you this. I'm actually mad that I swapped and won. I would have rather lost so that you could have lost. Like, that's how bad it is and unfair it is that you won money today.
The listeners right now are straight up like, he can't keep getting away with this with Nate. Just like the guy shows up with dog shit 3 weeks in a row and late swaps onto the stone nuts. I mean, late swapping onto the nuts is supposed to be my thing, dude. Like,
I didn't swap last week, did I? I think it was, no, it was 2 weeks ago. I didn't, last week I was dust.
We had the Kelsey swap 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago
was the Kelsey swap. Last week, I had all of my players locking.
That's right, and you were tilting. You were tilting the whole time when I swapped to Purdy. Yes.
Because I played Lamar freaking Jackson. He got four rushing yards.
Purdy and Kittle.
Okay, so the I think a couple interesting things here. So the first is why did I not play Kamara? You guys both had Kamara. It's a couple things. One, really, actually, really related to the Thielen thing, which is dude's 8,100. I mean, it's the highest price tag he's been since he was capital A, capital K, Kamara. I thought he really didn't project that differently than any of the guys people were playing. I think he was 2.5 points better than Jacobs. I think that he was like 2.5 points better than Jonathan Taylor. So I felt pretty comfortable just playing those guys. And my logic was basically like, okay, if Kamara gets 30, he will kill me. But if he gets 22, I'm pretty confident in Jacobs and JT matching that. And also, Kamara has not been efficient at all.
He's legitimately dusty.
I mean, he's not dust like Tony Pollard. You want to look at a guy who's like actually dust. Tony Pollard is 10 of 10 dust. But Kamara has not been efficient. He is averaging like far and away a career low in career low in yards per attempt. He is averaging, I believe, a career low in yards per target, yards per reception, all that stuff. Career low and all that stuff. So 4.4 yards per touch. He has only been below 5 in one season ever before. And he was also scoring a bunch of touchdowns that season. So it's basically just like, okay, if I'm just playing a volume guy, I think Jonathan Taylor and Josh Jacobs are basically going to get the same volume as Alvin Kamara. And more
I don't know why we're putting Jacobs in the same bucket as Jonathan Taylor. Like, I feel like Jacobs's volume is way.
Oh, I mean, I thought Jacobs was a lock. I'm just saying those were the guys I was deciding that those spots for.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan Taylor is very similar to Bijan, and this run out makes it look like they're distinctly different. But Jacobs to me is the one who's distinctly
I don't think Bijan had anything close to Jonathan Taylor's passing volume. Like, not even close.
Who? Bijan?
Are you kidding
Jonathan
me?
Jonathan Taylor's getting like 4.5 targets per game.
Buddy, Bijan's getting plenty of looks through the air. He had five targets last week.
That's the only thing Bijan gets that's close to Taylor. Where Taylor outpaces Bijan is in his rushing.
Yeah, I think the knock on Kamara, and if you look at like his expected points and workload, like, dude, it is like CMC levels. It is insane. But the one thing we got to look out for is we're, you know, super worried about, you know, Zach Moss taking away goal line carries from Jonathan Taylor. And, you know, we're worried about Tyler Allgeier. We need to be worried about Taysom the Goat Hill, because Taysom.
Like legit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is not a bit. I mean, Taysom Hill is a master scavenger. And that's something we really, really, they put Taysom in center. No, Taysom is like thing. Legit scavenger.
No, they're like building the whole plane out of it right now. Honestly, I mean, you know why Kamara was jammed at 8,100 was because all the nerds played him last week and he got there. So when the guy gets there for you in cash the week before, it's very easy to just play him again.
That he legit has a 10 reception ceiling on DraftKings. Like, no other running back gets his passing workload. And so, like, he's game script proof from that perspective of, like, even if he gets behind, like, he still gets that.
I didn't think Kamara was bad, but I thought Taylor was in the same neighborhood, and I thought Jacobs was a lock.
I thought there was systemic risk with Jacobs, just like with AOC starting. It's like, dude, this team could fall apart.
Yeah, right? I mean, turns out the systemic risk was on playing the fucking Giants defense.
I mean, that was it. Look, I know they projected okay, but I think that was probably bad. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'll never scoff totally at a 2.3K defense, but man, like, when you really like broke it down, you're like, they could legit airball, and they kind of did.
They did. Yeah. They got negatives.
Yeah. Whereas like the Packers, like I really like the Packers. It's like they're at home, they're against Ripon, like in Lambeau Field. Like, that's just a game where the Rams almost have like no chance to score in many ways. Like the Packers have. It was one of Thorman's like big like D line to O line mismatches, not like an elite one, but a really good one. It was just like, you know, they've been accruing a bunch of sacks. I was like, dude, I like Green Bay here.
Okay. I want to talk about McLaurin, because I tried to play every wide receiver but McLaurin. I wanted to play Nico and I wanted to play Olave, both guys who I played in every tournament lineup.
How much were they? I know Olave was
6,300. Actually, you want to know what's sick was I would have played Cade Otton. I would have played $3,000 Cade Otton.
Oh man. Would have been really good, buddy.
I couldn't stomach that. And then Nico was actually the same price. So I could have just played Nico and I was just like,
we are mentally weak.
Dude, I'll just do what the field does. You know, if the field is really this confident in Terry McLaurin, then I mean, Terry McLaurin is not a cash game wide receiver, like at all, like doesn't profile like it. Is not an alpha. Like he will lose red zone work to literally anyone. He is like, he's actually very similar to Olave. He is a deep threat who.
Now Olave is an alpha.
Olave is, I don't know. He might be a fake.
Olave might be a fake alpha.
Yeah. He might be a fake alpha. He might be really? A fake alpha. Yeah. Yeah, I think Olave might be.
I think Derek Carr just sucks, but like, we saw the run out with freaking McLaurin today. It's just like, he was the wide receiver 7 for Washington.
But the thing
it's
with
like,
McLaurin is that he's tied to a quarterback who right now, I mean, literally they're playing like it's Kansas City. I mean,
yeah,
they're letting Howell go and just, I mean, Howell has, from a passing volume standpoint, the highest in the slate projection. Like it was one of those things where it was like McLaurin, just even if he was not that, like Houston has potential to just run the ball with Singletary 17 times and you wouldn't be shocked.
Are we gonna flagellate ourselves for just eating Devin Singletary chalk, or is that even worth talking about?
I think you had to play him.
Yeah, I think you did.
He made everything work. He's 4,300. Everyone's playing him. It's just like you can't really lose by playing Singletary. But of course, when we flip over our GPP lineups,
none of us are
going to have played Singletary except maybe Nate. I don't know.
I honestly don't think Terry McLaurin is that bad when you look at what Washington.
It's not that I think he was bad. It's just that it's like one of my least favorite things to do is to just match the field on the volatile mid-tier wide receiver like Zay Flowers last week. I mean, there's been a lot of these guys, right? Like throughout our years doing this. Now Thielen is like kind of the opposite of that, where he was like a non-volatile guy who was like 4,500. And if you didn't pay him, you were just getting burnt up. But like these high A dot guys, and like obviously the market is making the assumption that, oh, Curtis Samuel out. Well, the commies answered by 4 targets for Byron Pringle, 4 for De'Ami Brown, 6 for Jameson Crowder, 2 for John Bates, 6 for Logan Thomas. Like just like unbelievably tilted.
Yo, congrats on the 6 Logan Thomas targets, Nate.
Well, I mean, that's why I played him, because of the Sam Howell effect.
It's essentially like what Njoku got.
I thought the best play was Ferguson, followed by Schultz, but I couldn't make it work without playing Bijan, and I just decided I was not playing Bijan. I was like, Jonathan Taylor's just a way better play.
Now you're just
I don't
want
to talk about Bijan anymore.
Well, but here's the thing. Actually, not sharp, because I think Ferguson, Bijan outscored Njoku and Taylor.
No.
Is it not?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, because they both scored.
Bijan put up like 5 points.
5.1, Nate. Put some respect on his name.
So I played Njoku, who scored and got absolutely dusted by every tight end around him. Got dusted by Ferguson, got giga dusted by Dalton Schultz. Like Dalton Schultz, I think, had 35. Like he had like 10 for he had like 10 for 115 and 2.
Houston laid waste. Like my best friend texted me in the middle of the day because I'd played Stroud against him. He's just like, why is your team so bad that you played CJ Stroud? I'm just like, taste my ass, bro. Like that guy can play.
10 for 130 and 1 from
Jesus.
Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. Well, Ferguson ended up.
People played him. People played Schultz.
Well, tight end. I think tight end ownership was more evenly distributed this week than I've seen it in a long time.
Oh, it's super distributed.
Yeah. I thought Njoku would be like mega chalk just because he projected so well. But I think the thing you need to take into account with the projections is like, with tight ends, are so freaking volatile. You know what I mean? Like a really high valued tight end in the projections is just going to be way more volatile, that projection, than like a really high wide receiver. Like that's just how it's going to be. So like you are allowed to get off that and be like, oh yeah, I'm playing a bad value tight end. Like you're talking about like tenths of a point that like separate them, you know? Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say they're more volatile. I would say that their floor is lower. It doesn't necessarily, like, the volatility of some of these higher price guys. The CD has legit like a 50 point distribution. Like, tight ends don't. So I would say wide receivers are actually more volatile. It's just that they're
The bands are tighter. Yeah. But I mean, also, well,
it's harder for tight ends to meaningfully separate from their position, where at the wide receiver position, it's much easier.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, if you look at a site like ETR, whose projections will give you like a value rating, right? Yeah. That value rating is super like not trustworthy, because just like one catch or, you know, 0.4 of a point in projection can totally swing that value rating when you're talking about like a $3,500 player or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where a wide receiver, if you're that high in the value rating, it's probably baked into like 30 something yards and, you know,
right.
Exactly.
Where you can fudge the projections and still it's not as fragile.
Exactly. I mean, Ferguson could have had the bonus. He had 10 targets, 7 for 91 and a touchdown. He had a drop. He had another touchdown in the bag where the guy held him, so he didn't get the touchdown. I mean, he could add an even bigger day, like, by far.
I mean, Logan Thomas was the highest owned tight end. I did not expect that at all.
Was he really?
Yeah,
it was. No, Logan Thomas. Njoku was.
No, in the $25 double up, Logan Thomas was 16.3, and Njoku was 15.4.
Oh, wow. I thought that's what I had pulled up. Whatever. I mean, you know, I was windmilling getting an Njoku touchdown, and then it turned out it like literally didn't matter.
I know. I was sitting here and I'm like, well, you know, I'm fine going down to Bellinger, because there's like, Njoku never gives you the blade. He's like Evan Ingram. Like, well,
he kind of gave people the blade last week, 4 for 77 and one last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was without Watson. I actually was nervous with Njoku. I played Njoku in tournaments, but I was nervous about him.
No, I agree.
Watson,
I agree.
I was all over Watson in tournaments and wanted zero exposure to the Browns in cash.
Yeah. All right. Do we got anything else interesting for cash?
No, I mean, just wrap it up that, you know, we played bad and we swapped and we got there.
No,
and
like, I didn't play bad. I played good. I feel that my lineup at lock and at,
yeah, you didn't play freaking Bijan Robinson. You played Josh Jacobs and you were sharp. Like,
how unlike Sammy,
we played really bad.
Correct.
How
Correct.
Unlike me to play the old dusty Josh Jacobs instead of the young fun Bijan Robinson,
like, how unlike Nate. I mean, this is really, really a tough day for Nate's brand.
I'm gonna have to look in the mirror and do some reevaluation.
Okay. Now I could do the fun thing and talk about my CJ Stroud team that did all right, but it's actually not that fun, because, like, who gives a shit? You know, it's like everyone gets it. So what I want to do is I want to talk about one of my really terrible teams, because I think it's pretty illustrative of something that I do wrong, and I gotta stop doing this. Let's see here. I got two that were really bad, but one was more illustrative. Okay, not this one. I did my high stakes stuff was all either, not high stakes, single entry. So it was all either Stroud, Hurts, or Lamar. And I think the Lamar, I think it's illustrative of why you should be trying to find non-elite quarterback teams, because you just have to make bad plays when you make those teams. Not bad plays, but thin plays. And I keep doing this, and I got to stop doing it. So this was in the big red zone. Lamar Jackson, 8% owned, feeling good about that. Mark Andrews, 5% owned, feeling good about that. I played Jonathan Taylor on every team. Good. I like that. That was a good process, I thought. I really like Jonathan Taylor. Think he's got a lot of volume. He got 24 touches. Think he's efficient. He was not efficient at all today, actually. I also played Bijan Robinson on 100% of my tournament teams today. That was not good. That was not good. That was not strong. Because I think a guy like Bijan, you ideally want him to be more at like 10 to 15%. Kind of like when Swift was good before Swift turned into Josh Jacobs. And now Bijan's like 20, 25%. The market is like, it's such 2023 DFS stuff, right? Like, this guy that doesn't project that well is just like totally jammed. As I mentioned, I played Olave on every team. Felt pretty good. Like, oh, get the touchdown. Nah, 4 for 46. I would do that one again, though. The Olave play I thought was really strong.
Yeah. He's in the dome. Like, what happened to the Saints?
Yeah.
Like Michael Thomas got one target. Olave didn't get that much. Kamara didn't get that much. Like, what happened?
Derek Carr.
Yeah. Taysom. I mean, honestly, Taysom is actually what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, he's just this giant planet with all this gravity that sucks all the fantasy points into it and leaves everything around it.
It's pretty insane that, like, literally their offense is running more efficiently with all of those wide receivers that you just mentioned. When they're not playing like that and they're actually doing these dumb gadgety plays with Taysom Hill, their offense is more efficient. They're more likely to score touchdowns when they do stuff like that versus just running an efficient play. Like,
because Taysom's a goat.
Guys, Irv Smith Jr. just scored in the Sunday Night Football game. Would have been nice about a month ago. Okay, so to continue, this is the shit that I did was dumb in this lineup because I was so adamant on playing Olave and Nico in every lineup. I was like, that's going to be my brand this week. I'm playing Olave and Nico in every lineup. Well, when you have Mark Andrews and when you have these 6K running backs and you have an 8K quarterback, that means you're doing shit like playing Jaxon Smith-Njigba at 1.4% owned as the bring back. Again, I like literally say this every goddamn week on this show. I'm like, the bring backs, the Sims don't really like them. You're playing these really thin plays. Well, guess what? He was thin. He got 12 points. He didn't win anything for you. And then I played Trey Palmer on this lineup. The Palmer thing I don't feel that bad about because DeMario Douglas was like 50% owned in single entry stuff. And Trey Palmer is like actually he's like Rashid Shaheed, but on the Buccaneers. He gets like three targets a game, but they're all a bazillion yards down the field. But the JSN play, I'm like, dude, you just got to stop playing two super thin wide receivers on these teams. You can play one, but you can't be playing multiple wide receivers $4,000 and below in these teams.
Yeah.
It just lowers your ceiling of that overall lineup so much.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And actually, I'll talk about my team because I did something kind of similar. By the way, Nico Collins, very tilting. This game, I mean, Jesus, they scored, what, like 77 points, something like that? 76 points? Nico Collins did good, but his Prize Picks line was 56.5. And
it's almost like Nico Collins is not like the alpha on that team. It's almost like Tank Dell is.
No, Tank Dell had like 4 yards last week. I'm not letting you get away with that one.
But also no. Three rushes. So, and he had two more rushes today.
They want the ball in Tank's hands.
Yeah.
Nico is the downfield guy. Tank is like the possession guy.
It's the new Evans and Godwin. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Yeah. So I actually only played one tournament team this week. It was a really busy week for me. Didn't have a ton of time to put stuff together. So I really didn't go that hard. I just put one entry in the SPY and I ended up swapping because it had Bijan Robinson in it. So it was really similar. It was a Hurts and Brown bringing it back with CD Lamb. Right. And then it was Taylor and Robinson at running back, the Packers defense. It was really similar to my cash team, actually. But what I did is I played both Brown and CD Lamb. And then I played DeMario Douglas, which is terrible in tournaments, probably. And I also played another low-priced wide receiver, Jamison Crowder, at 3,400. Not great. Not great.
I get the Crowder theory. It's the same thing as the Trey Palmer thing, except in the reverse. You're hoping Jamison Crowder gets 7 receptions for 53 yards and a touchdown.
I guess he got a long touchdown last week. You know, made a good play, put some good stuff on tape. Thought maybe he'd repeat it. That was all bad. So I ended up swapping to Dak and Ferguson at tight end, and this team ended up scoring 159 points and ended up doubling the money. So yeah, nice little swap. The Dak Ferguson swap made me a lot of money today. So congratulations to me.
All right. This is where Nate comes in with the Elijah Moore, David Njoku, Trey McBride.
if this team doesn't have Elijah Moore in it, I'll be goddamn.
I know. There's no, it 100% it has Elijah Moore.
Well, should I do my Elijah Moore one? I mean, I do. No, I, okay. So literally almost, Almost all of my tournament teams were Watson stacks. So
Jesus H. Christ.
My main one was in the red zone. So I had Watson, Cooper, and Joku with Jerome Ford with no bring back. Did kind of a mini correlation of Ramondre Stevenson, Patriots D, and Terry McLaurin, because I really wanted exposure. I thought there was going to be a ton of passing volume in the Washington-New England game. I thought, like, I could get the McLaurin workload, but still get Patriots D, like the sacks and things like that, and it would actually just be a game where they would be, you know, Howell would pass 50 times. So, it worked out. And then I had Josh Jacobs and A.J. Brown as well, because I knew I was so far
away
from
Josh. Okay, just why Deshaun Watson on every team?
Why Deshaun Watson?
Because when I was like looking at the slate, like I was like, this is the game that I want to attack. And I think that I know Deshaun is not going to be owned. And I thought Amari Cooper had a massive ceiling. So I had literally 100% Amari Cooper. Every team was built with either Njoku or Ford or...
Man, did fucking Amari Cooper bring it or what? I mean, yes. That guy is balling his ass off this year.
Yeah, so I had... Yeah, I had a good day in tournaments. Pretty much, I mean, I think I had like three main teams and they all either tripled or more. So, it was a good... And then I had one Sam Howell team.
I've been playing these CJ Stroud teams, and obviously I played them all with Nico, so I like didn't have a good sweat or anything today. But sadly, like Stroud he's now, after this performance, he's going to go into that bucket of guy who just he's 8% every week. Like it's over.
He's
like
just going to have a floor.
Yeah.
But just even like, at 8%, you can still play. You can still play.
Sure.
As long as you like, especially in these smaller entry fields, like when you just correlate the game, you end up so different.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people who just like completely onslaughted that game printed.
Just smashed. And this the thing is, when you get off bringbacks and you just, I mean, I don't think I had any bringbacks this week.
This is the team that won the big red zone. CJ Stroud at 7%, Bijan Robinson at 20%, Rashad White at 9%, Amari uncorrelated. Double stack with Nico and Tank, bring back with Cade, CD in the flex, and Falcons defense. Now that's interesting.
Wait, they had Rashad White too, so they had a double bring back?
Double bring back, double stack.
Wow. Double bring back, double stack. So yeah, I mean that's just correlate the game. Like that's just go after it and onslaught the whole game.
It does make it so much easier to set up lineups, right? Like you're literally it's so simple. But if you're double stacking and double bring backing, that fills in five spots of your lineup, right? Yeah. So it's just like,
and then you can just fill out with chalk, and then you can just literally go who's the best plays left, because you know you have uniqueness in the rest of your lineup.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, I've been doing so much thinking about this. I've been doing more of the pick four guys that you really like, pick three guys you really like as one-offs, and then kind of build everything around them. And obviously no sweats this year. Well, I had one week with a decent sweat, the first A-Chain week when he was only like 8% owned.
I used to do that. I used to go like, who are my individuals and the one-offs? But I think especially unless you're playing these massive fields, the one-offs aren't what separate you. It's like getting the correlated.
Yeah, it's the correlation.
Like, yeah. And so to me, I think it's less about the one-offs. And that's what I used to focus on all the time is the one-offs. But I was like, that's how you win the millionaire maker. That's not how you win, you know, the spy, the red zone, these single entry.
Well, winning the spy in the red zone is different than winning the millionaire maker. You need to be doing different things. Like they're
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
with the millionaire maker, you're spending time on is the millionaire maker strategy of like, just get these one-offs that all hit and you hit the nuts and there's no correlate. And it's just like Yahtzee, you know, but
yeah,
I think if you're trying to build in these smaller fields, correlate.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get out of here. Good show. I'm really hoping that we're done Josh and Nate to the people next week. Just like Nate, feels confident, doesn't swap, and just gets the absolute blade. And I don't even know who plays next week. I mean, this slate, I was not looking forward to playing this slate.
Dude, this was a gross slate.
Yeah, it was like one of the worst.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was really tough, but hopefully next week Nate shows up with, TJ Hockenson again, and yeah, he plays
Josh Dobbs's tight end, and he plays Bryce Young's number one wide receiver at 7,200. He's like, dude, discount from last week, feeling light work, gotta get him in. All right, guys, we're getting out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Bye.